Thank you, Smug Mug, for your support of the iPhone Photo Show. I have been a longtime subscriber. I use Smug Mug to back up all my photos, to run my website, to sell prints, and to show my online galleries to the world. There's a free 2-week trial of Smug Mug at smugmug.com. Give it a try. Hey everyone, Jefferson Graham here. You are watching, you are listening, iPhone Photo Show. Today I am answering a bunch of questions that came in this week, and if more questions come in while we're live, well, please bring them on. I'll be checking it out here. I've got the comment window open. It's been a big week in iPhone land with silliness. The questions are worth more than the news, but I'm going to start off with the news anyway. The volume button on the iPhone, they say it was going to go away. And there was a big deal about that. And as of today, they're not going away. And when I say going away, I mean that the metal on the sides were going to be displaced and replaced with a virtual volume button, but now you'll have the physical button again. That's the rumor. Of course, we'll have to wait until September to find out if it's for real. The state of Montana voted to ban TikTok, the social media app that so many people love to complain about. It is awaiting the governor's signature. It will be interesting to see what happens there, whether indeed the governor signs it and whether any state can actually ban an app. I say impossible. How are you going to tell Apple and Google that they can't offer an app in an app store within a state line? I don't see it happening. So let's have some fun with that one, okay? Ford has committed to keeping CarPlay, the audio app and more in the car that GM has said it's going to dump and Rivian has said it's going to dump in favor of its own software and infotainment system. Good move for Ford. I think people really love their CarPlay, so I don't think this is a smart decision by GM. As you probably have heard, HBO Max is soon to be no longer and will just be called Max. I don't know that there's a photo angle on this, except that every photographer and listener and viewer watches TV probably at some point in their life and maybe subscribes to a streaming service and said, hey, this is pretty good service. You got HBO, you got Warner Brothers, you've got Looney Tunes, you got TCM, pretty good stuff. And now it's going to be run by the folks at Discovery, and it's going to be sent the high-end fare that many of us coastal elites love, like Succession and The White Lotus, will be living next door to, I'm not even going to name their names, but the shows on Discovery Network, you could not pay me to watch. So I will be unsubscribing to Max as soon as Succession comes to an end, but we got 7 more weeks for that. Now let's move on to the questions, because I had a lot of them this week. Do you need a service plan? Jeff, I always see you filming your PhotoWalks TV episodes on multiple phones. Do you have to pay for service plans on all those phones? No, I use them as cameras. Each phone is an unlocked Wi-Fi device. I pay for one service plan on my primary iPhone. And from there, the other phones that I carry around, I have an iPhone 14 that I paid a service plan for. The 13 is unlocked. I have a Galaxy, which is right next to me, boop, Galaxy phone, which is also unlocked. And it's the way I've been doing it for years. You don't have to pay for a service plan on these phones. They're like the old iPod Touch. They're like the old iPod Touch. You just turn on the Wi-Fi and have fun. The only thing you can't do is make calls. You can use apps like WhatsApp. You can use apps like Line. You can use Facebook Messenger. There's a lot of things that you can do. So there goes that one. How did you do that? How did you do this? Anybody who's watching right now can see that there is a clip that I did of multiple Jeffs, probably about 30 Jeffs, walking in a circle, and then a giant globe comes up afterwards, and we're just walking back and forth. I'm working on a video about how I did this, which is through the magic of the Insta360 app. there is a section in the app called Stories that give you different little special effects that you can do. The Insta360 is a separate camera, and it costs $450. It's amazing. It's great. It's 360, so there's a lens on one side and a lens on the other. And in the app on the iPhone, they give you these tools to do these really wacky things, like I did, cloning myself multiple times. The same tools are not on the computer. They're only on the phone. So if you have a 360 camera, I would suggest using the app to create some of these things, or stay tuned. I will have a complete video on how to do a bunch of fun things in the Insta360 app. What gear do you recommend for an Alaskan cruise? Well, as many people know, I've been recommending not bringing camera gear with you when you travel, because you can do so much with the iPhone or a Galaxy at this point. Pretty much 80 to 90% of anything you want to do traveling, you can accomplish on your smartphone camera, except taking ultra close-ups of wildlife and doing sports. So, on the cruise, what are we doing? Are we doing wide shots? A lot of wide shots, I'm assuming, of the beautiful scenery without getting out off the boat? I think you could do that with a current iPhone, with a Galaxy, with a Pixel. Are you going to be really far away from things? Because in that case, you would need a camera and a lens. The iPhone, the top-of-the-line iPhones, have a 3X lens, which is a 77-millimeter equivalent. The Galaxy has a 5X lens, which is a 200-millimeter equivalent. And if you want to capture the wildlife with a longer lens, my go-to camera is the Sony RX10 4, which has a built-in 24-millimeter to 600-millimeter lens. It's amazing. And you would get some great wildlife shots from the boat. So thank you, Bill, for the question. The RX10 4 sells for $1,700. They haven't come up with a new one in, 3, 4, 5 years. I am eagerly awaiting a new one, because I'll buy one as soon as it comes out. It is my favorite go-to camera. The downfall on it is that it has a 1-inch chip as opposed to a full frame, which is twice the size. But if you shoot in RAW, you can get some pretty great material on this camera. I'm sorry. Hey, Jeff, is it true that you graduated from USC and that you're a fellow Trojan? Go Trojans! That was a question I got yesterday from Mitch Goldstone, who was my guest on the live show. And no, I did not graduate from USC. I did not go to USC. Somebody that works for Mitch did a search for me in ChatGPT, and they made up a bunch of things, or I don't know where they get this stuff from. They also said that I was the co-host of Photo Walks, which, as loyal viewers know, I'm the host, man. So you're going to have to really question everything you see on ChatGPT. I did another search on my name this week, and it said I was married to a woman named Eileen, who is a former TV producer, and that also is not true. Ruth, who is my wife, who's sitting in the other room. When Mitch was on the show, people wanted to know what recommendations for DPI we have for scanning. So Mitch has a service called scanmyphotos.com where you can take all your old photos, put them in a box, send them to him, and he will then scan them, and he charges different prices for different resolutions. I would recommend never going lower than 300. He offers a service for under 300. I wouldn't do it, because you're archiving for the rest of your life, and it just does not make any sense to skimp, to save $20 when this is stuff you want for the rest of your life. So I feel very strongly about this. I also used to argue with somebody who would tell me that he would bring his camera on vacation and set it to the lowest resolution so that it would be easier to email. I've got more to say on email photos in a minute, but I would yell at Dan all the time about this. And luckily on the iPhone, they don't give us that option. We just get high resolution photos. Getting back to scanning, 300 or 600, I'd go all the way. That's me. I would pay the top dollar, particularly you know, Mitch will scan negatives and slides, and you definitely want the higher resolution on those because they are really tiny, right? To follow up on our scanning discussion from yesterday, you can scan photos, stuff them in a box. You could stuff slides in a box, negatives in a box, and the average price is about $200 per box. You mail it to him. He does the scanning, sends you a digital download, and then you just download the material and he sends the stuff back to you. It's pretty efficient. It may sound costly, but fires, floods, etc., we need to scan everything. We need to archive everything. You could sit there and you could scan them one by one on your phone. And if that's what you want to do, or we could scan thousands of pictures and just get it done. I've done pretty well with scanning on the phone for certain prints using the Google, it's called the Photos by Google. Is that right? Photo Scan by Google app, which is pretty amazing. It does a pretty good job of taking out the reflections as well. But I sure wouldn't want to do it for like 10, 20, 30, 40 photos. That's my take on that. What's your take on scanning? Next question, and this came up in the show yesterday, was how to bulk rename files. Because when scanmyphotos.com scans all your photos, you get them back and they're called Scan 01, Scan 02, Scan 03, Scan 04, Scan 05. It's a timely process to change the names, and I highly recommend that you do that because otherwise you will never find the pictures on your computer. You really need to take the time and go through these files. Now, two services were recommended by readers yesterday, listeners. There is one called Name Mangler, which is a Mac app that sells for $19. And there's another one called the Better Finder Rename, and that's $30. So those are two that were recommended. I haven't tried them. I usually use Lightroom, which is a pretty great way to, that's Adobe Lightroom Classic, I should say. And I just rename them in the program. Works pretty well for me. Again, it's timely. It takes a while, but it works. And speaking of Lightroom, many people are always asking about workflow and getting the photos into Lightroom from the phone. How do you do it? So I primarily do AirDrop because I find it to be the easiest way to go. I just, you know, with the way I do it, for instance, I was in Japan and I just AirDropped roughly 1,000 pictures, and that's on one phone. I did that this morning, and I did it in chunks. I did it 300, 300, and 400 or something like that. And you just sit there and select them and put your finger on the files and then send them to your computer. When I've tried connecting directly to Lightroom, I found that they were picking up a lot of pictures that were not the most current shoot. They were sort of all over the map, and so I'm not a big fan of that. Other people may use iCloud as a way of putting them up in the cloud and then pulling them down. I'm not a fan of iCloud, as many people know, because it's a mirror of your phone and it automatically backs up every picture. I shouldn't say backup. It automatically copies every picture on your phone, and then Apple starts sending you nag messages telling you that you're out of your room on your phone. You have to start deleting to make room, and then they get deleted from iCloud at the same time. So I'm not a fan. I use SmugMug. You know, as many people know, they're our sponsor. And I have all my pictures go up there as well. Sometimes, I've got to be honest, sometimes they miss a few, which is why I did the iCloud. I'm sorry. That's why I did the AirDrop this morning, just to make sure that I have everything. So I think the auto iOS app and the Android app is fantastic for when you're on the road, but I would also double check everything when you get home just to make sure, because I did miss a few files. We have a comment or a question from Bev, who says, I am guessing my decision to take only my iPhone 13 Pro Max with Beast Crip gauge and cage and telephoto lens will be sufficient for my trip, plus ND and polarizing filter might be a good idea. Yeah, why not? I don't know, Bev, where you're going. Maybe you could leave another comment and let me know where that's going to be. But as many people know, I went to Paris, I went to Japan with just a bunch of phones. And I think I did pretty well. I can't think of a close-up that I could have gotten in Paris with a camera that I would have needed. And I can't think of a close-up in Japan that I would have needed. I got everything pretty well. Now, video is always going to be stronger on the iPhone than it is on the camera. I don't know why that is, but it's really great. The photos, I would say B plus. I think with a camera, you'd get your A plus, and that's the difference. But the other side of the coin is, I leave the hotel in the morning, and I've got two phones in my pocket. I'm not dragging camera gear, and I'm not hurting my back. I'm not hurting my shoulder, and I'm not a thief magnet either. So, Bev, we have a follow-up. Bev is going from Portland, Maine, then to Mount Washington in New Hampshire. You should do fine. Now, if you're in the car, this sounds like a driving trip. If it's a driving trip, I might put a camera in there. But as far as plane travel goes, I don't think so. I am going to Columbus, Ohio this week, and now I'm trying to think, should I bring my drone along with me? Because the drone is incredible for travel footage, but I'm going on Spirit Airlines, which is very tight on how much stuff they'll let you bring. Luckily, the drone is very small. Another comment from Bev is, thanks for the tip about Substack, following you and seeing advertising for it more and more. That's another thing that happened this week is Substack brought out their Twitter competitor, which is fantastic. We watched Twitter transform into a garbage can and a mess, run by a vindictive madman that I don't know what his game plan is, but many of us have been looking for an alternative to Twitter. I don't think Mastodon is it. I don't think Post is it. And Substack, which is my newsletter platform, came out with their alternative, and it's called Notes. It looks like Twitter. It acts like Twitter. And the big difference is that everybody's nice, and I'm really enjoying it. I would urge everybody to give it a try because whatever you think of Notes, we need a good Twitter alternative because who knows what's going to happen to Twitter. For anybody who's a writer and likes, you don't even have to be a writer. You have to enjoy communicating. Substack has been the best newsletter platform I've ever come across, better than WordPress, better than MailChimp, much easier to use. I have a niece who's about to take a trip over to Europe and is going to try to make it work in Spain for a while. I highly recommend it. Just doing a travel blog over there because the platform is so easy and it's so easy to get out. So anybody who's encouraged doing that kind of communication, highly recommend Substack. And give Notes a try. Okay, finally, the best way to send photos. This came up yesterday. It sounds like a simple question, but of course it's not because we all have this problem. So how do we do it? Do we do email? Do we do text? Do we do AirDrop? Email, of course, is the most efficient, but you can only send so many photos. Anybody who's a photographer, who's listening or watching, be very careful with your email program and make sure that they don't lower the resolution of your photo when you send them because somebody could get something that's 100 kilobits and not be able to do anything with it. I wouldn't like somebody sending me a photo for me to use that has been downgraded. Now, this used to happen a lot more often years ago in the early days of the internet. I haven't seen it as often. Same thing can happen with texting, so you want to check that. Texting is also incredibly efficient as long as we get full resolution images. For Mac users, and I assume that anybody with an iPhone might just be a Mac user, AirDrop. AirDrop is where you just send your photo, you beam it directly to another person, to their phone at full resolution. And for those who have been working in the RAW format, which is the higher resolution unprocessed photo on the iPhone, when you do AirDrop, you have to go into options before you send it, and you do say select all photos data or words to that effect. and then that person will get the full resolution photo and be able to reprocess the raw photo. So there we go for that. Mario has a great question, which is there an AirDrop? Is AirDrop also for Android? AirDrop is not for Android. And I'm told that there's an Android similar tool. I want everyone to, and I don't know what it is, but I want everyone to know that I went out and I bought this Galaxy phone, even though I'm a dedicated iPhone user, that, which many people are aware of. And I did it so that I could answer questions like that just came in from Mario. I wanted to know how to do more with the Android phone. And I'm really enjoying the Samsung Galaxy. I bought the S21, which is actually 2 years old. And because of the 10x zoom, which is on there, which is a 200 millimeter equivalent, I found myself gravitating for it often when I was in Japan. And I got some pretty nice close-ups. And I sure hope that Apple is going to actually put in a 10x zoom for us in the next edition of the iPhone. That would be the iPhone 15, usually announced right after Labor Day. I didn't get the question this week, but I always get the question is, should I buy the new iPhone now? So today is April 14th, almost time for taxes. And so we are, 6 months away from a new iPhone. At this point, I would say wait, because in just a few months, Apple will tell you that their new phone is the smallest, biggest, lightest, most powerful, most efficient, greatest camera of all time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if you don't get it, you'll feel bad. You'll feel totally inadequate, as the 13 folks did when they announced the 14. So I would wait for the iPhone 15. Give you a little preview of what's coming up on PhotoWalks TV this weekend. 3-part series on Japan. I sort of teased it with the Chinatown episode last week. And we've got Osaka, and then Kobe. So part one of Osaka, where I'm taking you to the best photo spots to photograph the Electric City. It's the second most populated city in Japan. And it's electric, it's wild. I'll take you to some great overhead views, and I'll take you to the Osaka Castle. And then on Sunday, my new friend Matt Kaufman, who's a writer for Osaka.com, is going to show us hidden Osaka behind the scenes, and we're going to meet some people. One of the great things about Osaka is that people are friendlier and more outgoing, and I found that to be true. Okay? And so it's actually one of my favorite episodes of all time. So that's on Sunday. I hope you'll enjoy that. And then on Monday, I'll take you to Kobe, which is a smaller city. It's more of a normal Japan city that happens to have some of the best views in the country. So stay tuned for those 3-part series starting tomorrow. I hope you'll all watch. And thank you for listening. I'm Jefferson Graham. I will see you on the podcast next week. And thanks, everyone, for watching, listening, reading. Don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter at jeffersongraham.substack.com. Bye-bye, everybody.